gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Mama's in L.A.
I love L.A.
It's snowing in New York.
Yes, it is.
Unfortunately, it's raining in my house here in Los Angeles, which is why I'm back.
What, I didn't fix it well enough for you?
No, apparently that masking tape you used did not work.
Mm.
I've had to deal with a series of contractors. I'll tell the whole story. I drove here in my lovely rented Hyundai. 6 minutes after the hour.
Do you even know how to roll down a window via hand crank?
I haven't done that since the 70s. I'm like, how do you get this window down? What the hell's this thing?
Oh, Stephanie.
All right. All right, so we'll
And you actually have to use your key to unlock
the door. I know,
door.
I had no clue. I had to... And here's what a dope I am. How many years have I lived here? I got lost coming to work. Because I was coming from a different way, and I went the wrong way. I almost was late.
Would you end up in Pacoima?
I was almost in Pacoima.
Oh.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. But it's warm.
Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Well, warm-ish. It didn't even get into the 70s yesterday.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. By the way, this hour brought to you by Carbonite. Carbonite Online, backup a must for my computer. Don't wait. Back up your computer today for a 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. Visit Carbonite.com right now. Be sure to use the offer code Stephanie. Loves me some Carbonite.
They're awesome.
All right. Lots of stuff to get to today. A jam-packed show. Carl Frisch from Media Matters, co-host Right Wing World next hour. Hal Sparks, Hump Days with Hal. And then Terrell Clark, the woman that's going to beat Michelle Bachmann in Minnesota, or the candidate for Congress up there, will join us. But in the meantime, Representative Bobby Scott, Democrat of the great state of Virginia, on the Newsmaker Hotline. Good morning, Congressman.
Stephanie, how are you?
I'm good. Good to talk to you again.
Good. Good to talk to you.
I am, I think we're feeling plucky, aren't we, after the president's, what do you call that exactly? Oh, I'd say an ass-whooping of the Republicans last Friday.
Well, it was a good opportunity for him to have the sound bites thrown at him and for him to pick them apart piece by piece. I mean, some of the stuff that's been said just makes no sense. I mean, we had a budget committee meeting yesterday where the Republican long-term budget was discussed, and if you look at the budget, it balances over a 75-year period. The only problem is that you have to cut Medicare 75% to get there.
Right, right.
So you'd give people a voucher worth about 25% of what it costs for insurance, and that's how you balance the budget. Well, you know, that's not a serious budget.
Right. Well, and also, Congressman, I just can't, I fail to see how anybody has any credibility that is basically for the same policies that got us into this place.
Well, and if you look at the tough choices we made in 93, the bad choices they made in 2001, the ditch we're in, we are trying to dig ourselves out of the ditch, and all we hear from the other side is we need to keep going the way we were going.
Right.
If you look at where we were in 2001 when the Bush administration came in, we had a $5.5 trillion 10-year surplus, and
yep,
the Social Security shortfall for 75 years was only $4 trillion. We had enough to make Social Security financially secure for 75 years and enough left over to pay for 10 years of the new health care bill that we're trying to pass.
Right. Well, Congressman, I think for me, someone that obviously observes politics every day, even for me, it's kind of breathtaking, these lacks credibility in that each and everything they were for in the Bush administration or had no objection to, they're now against. I mean, it sort of is just stunning, you know. I mean, yesterday we had the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, John McCain is there against it. He was one of the many, first of all, he said on record, you know, if the top brass comes to me and says we should change it, that's what we should do. How many times do we hear, Congressman, you got to listen to the generals on the ground, you know?
Well, and then the generals on the ground say we need to repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and all of a sudden he's not listening to the generals.
Right. Yeah, yeah. But again, and also being on record as saying, when the military comes to me and says it's time to change this, we should do it. I mean, it literally, I think Harry Reid was talking about John McCain. I mean, he just still seems to be running the 2008 campaign, doesn't he?
Well, I think it's difficult to take some of them seriously when you have the commission offered the the Budget Commission offered, and yet seven co-sponsors of the bill turn around and vote against it.
Right.
It shows that they're just not serious.
Right.
And what we need to do, in my judgment, is just to go back to what we did in 1993 with not a single Republican in the House, not a single Republican in the Senate, and do the right thing.
That's right.
We can expect the Republicans to demagogue and make political issues out of it.
Yep.
When our health care plan, the health care plan that's pending, that passed the House, reduced corporate subsidies without reducing any benefits under the Medicare program, and they went crazy talking about how bad it is and how we're whacking seniors. And then you look at their budget that knocks out 75% of Medicare.
Mm-hmm.
You just cannot take them seriously. We're going to have to make the tough choices and brace ourselves for the onslaught. But
right. Well, I mean,
jobs program that we're trying to do.
Well, you know, like you say, I mean, Representative, not a peep out of the Republicans during these huge deficits the Bush administration ran up, and now you know it's all they can talk about.
We had a $5.5 trillion surplus. They ended up with a $3.5 trillion debt, at least $3.5, a $9 trillion swing in 8 years. They overspent the budget $1 trillion a year. Every year for 8 years, and not a peep.
Yep, and you know, look at terror trials. How many terror trials do we have under Bush?
I think it was 200.
Yeah, I mean, it comes out yesterday that, you know, the shoe bomber was read his Miranda rights 5 minutes, you know, for four times, like 5 minutes after he was captured. I mean, it makes a lie out of basically everything they say. And now all of the same people that were on record as being for all that are against it.
And that's the problem we're having with jobs. We had the worst job performance in the 8 years of Bush since the Great Depression.
Right.
Now we're trying to create jobs, and every time you try to make a tough choice, they'll squeal like stuck pigs.
Yep.
And what we need to do is just create them. The problem we've got really on job creation is that states are laying people off so fast. Every time we create a job, all we've done is offset the one that just got laid off in the states. The states have cut their budgets over $300 billion already. We gave them $140 billion. So the first before they started cutting people. So I mean that's about $450 billion. That of stimulus we need just to offset what the states have laid off.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's we're shooting at a moving target. We're doing the best we can. We're creating jobs slowly, but not quickly enough.
Right.
We need to continue, but we're not getting any help from the Republicans. None of them voted for the stimulus package.
Well, you know, Congressman, I think we know what we're up against. I don't know if you saw this. You know, the other big breaking story yesterday is this Frank Luntz memo was leaked. I mean, what can you do when your opposition party is not debating you in good faith? He basically says, just lie about financial regulation.
That's what he said. He said the strategy is just lie and you'll win. That is not the first time he's been caught on the contract with
on
America.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
He was quoted as saying that was not a serious legislative proposal. That was just the 10 best vote-getting sound bites.
Right. But I mean, same thing. But same play they run every time, whether it's on health care or whatever. I mean, I just that's not a political party.
They had no intention of enacting any of that stuff. They called them up for a vote. Most of them failed. The rest were not legislative initiatives, just sound bites.
Yep.
And he was the pollster back then. So getting him caught saying you just ought to lie is not anything new. And if you look at their proposals, it's consistent with what they've been doing.
Yep.
We need to be serious about what we're doing. We have a jobs problem, and we need to make sure that people can get to work. We need to make the tough choices on the budget, and we're just getting no help, no serious help from the other side. When they say we can balance the budget, then show how it's done. Well, health care is a real factor for long term budget. Everything else kind of stays at the same portion of GDP. As GDP goes up, the costs go up. But, you know, that's manageable. Health care is going up much faster than inflation, and that is the long-term problem. To just whack off Medicare, of course you can do that. You haven't done anything.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. All right, Congressman Bobby Scott, thanks for fighting the good fight and checking in with us as usual. We appreciate it.
Stephanie, thank you very much.
All right, thank you, sir. There he goes, Representative Bobby Scott. Oh, dear God. God.
Now, if he would only fix that pothole in on Richmond Road near my parents' house.
Yeah, too bad we didn't have time to get to that. Oh, well.
you ask all of your Congress people to fix potholes every time that they're on.
That's because my name's on the show.
Oh, I see.
All right. It almost seems like somebody that has an axe to grind against me, but perhaps has a grudge from working with me every day, put some sort of hex on my house out here in Los Angeles.
What?
Some sort of poltergeist have possessed my house here.
How?
How? I've been in New York, what, 2 months? More things have gone wrong with my house than in the 6 years I've lived there.
Well, that's because it finally started raining.
Yes, well, that's the thing. The tenants are very pesky. I choose to consider them extra showers. They choose to consider them leaks.
Well,
I'm a glass half full sort of girl.
Wasn't there a leak from another bathroom that hardly ever gets used?
Oh, yeah, there's that too. Okay, so this may involve new rain gutters, may involve a new deck. Thank God New York is so cheap, because this is really good timing for Mama. Anyway, that's another one. So it's also leaking not just from the, the actual
outside.
Outdoor. Yes. Apparently, here's something new.
What?
It's the guest bathroom when they use the bathtub. It's raining from a light in the kitchen. There's like water coming out of the, what do you call that? The hi-hat light in the kitchen.
So you moved from the slums of Rio to Calcutta.
Yes.
Basically.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like a good move. Why, huh?
Well, at least Jim Ward can feel me up in person today, and that's the only thing I have to look forward to. Otherwise, it's just an endless stream of contractors that I'm dealing with at this point. All right, so lots to get to on the big show. But you know what?
What?
Here's the good news. I have just started P90X.
What's that?
Funny you should ask.
Hmm.
It's a workout pro, because Mama's a bit of the workout queen.
Yes, you are.
I may even visit our Be Celebrity Gym while I'm back here in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
How long are you going to be here?
I'm not really sure.
Okay.
Wouldn't you like to know?
I would like to know.
You don't seem happy to see me. All right.
I think I like seeing you on Skype.
All right. I take my health seriously. I do. I've always worked out. I've always been, I've always, wanted to change up my workout because you get in a rut. P90X is, I'd heard about it, and it really is an incredible workout. It includes strength training, cardio, and yoga, and you can do it right at home. And as an elderly shut-in, this appeals to me.
Absolutely.
A lot of people, you don't want to spend the money to go to a gym, or you buy equipment and it just sits around. But this one, it works your body from all different angles, so you don't plateau, you don't get overuse injuries, you don't get bored. I'm going to be taking the P90X challenge, posting my results online. How about that? I challenge my listeners, especially my male hard bodies. You know what I'm talking about. Listen, when I go on events, I want to see some P90X bodies. You know what I'm talking about.
You want to see
about.
Some abs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
P90X comes completely risk-free, guarantee your results guaranteed. Get off your duff, make the call today, 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-9FIT. See how that works? It's easy to remember.
Yeah, spell it out that way.
800-509-FIT. Or go to my website right now, stephaniemiller.com. We have a banner ad.
That's right.
P90X. Check it out. 19 minutes after the hour, back when, boy, do we have news breaking left and right. Did you see that Republican poll? That tells you everything you need to know about the opposition. 19 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
She listens to right-wing wacko radio, so you don't have to anymore. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Rock on.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. Why, it's Surly Associate Producer Rebecca Taylor. Good morning, Rebecca. Aren't you happy to see me?
Who let this slut in the building? No, seriously, I'm calling security right now.
She's back to being able to warm up my food for me and bring me highlighters.
She was rolling on the floor laughing at the fact that you drove a Hyundai to work today.
We pulled in right next to each other and she mocked me.
You might.
She's
as well.
Like, what did that cost? $2 a day? I'm like, no, they're paying me to drive this piece of crap.
You might as well have driven up in a Geo Metro. That's how hot that car is.
You know how it is when you're renting. I'm like, just give me the cheapest piece of crap you got. All right, and it's boy, they did not disappoint. That's,
no.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, at least you didn't get a Kia. I got a Kia when my car was in, you know, when I had my accident and the car was in the shop.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was the most uncomfortable car I think I've ever driven in my life.
Yeah, Rebecca saw me trying to lock it because you're right. I haven't, you know, for years when you're used to, whoop, whoop, you know, the little thing.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, why am I locking this? Who's going to take this? Hey, sweet rod. Somebody help me hotwire it. All right. Rebecca, how are you at spackling and deck repair? And,
Suddenly, I quit. I can't.
Not so good. I've got to. Oh, do you know any Ghostbusters, perhaps? Maybe it's just Poltergeist, Chris. What do you think?
It could be Poltergeist. I mean, your TV's turning on by itself.
You have ghosts? Oh, that's so cool.
And
yes.
Your treadmill was left on.
Mm-hmm. Yes. All right.
Did anyone die on your property that you know of?
Not that I know of.
Like any friends
I might
that
kill
you had
someone
over?
On my property by the end of this week. All right. But at least for a week, there's no poo-related stories because my nephew is watching the dogs back in New York.
Should we call your nephew?
He will be on poo patrol all
Should
week.
We call your nephew and see if there are any poo stories?
The poo is going. Or if Fred has eaten the apartment yet in protest for Mama leaving. All right. All right, so lots of stuff to get to. Rebecca, good to see you.
Oh, okay.
Thanks for coming in.
All right, thanks for coming back, slut. See ya.
Okay. She hates that, really? She hates talking on the air? You didn't tell me that.
Yeah, she really doesn't care for it. She always does it under protest.
All right. Oh, boy, you guys could not have been happier to see me. All right, at least I can, like I said, I can get a cheap feel from Jim later. Tim and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Tim.
Oh, if I was there, you could always get a cheap feel for me.
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
No problem. Uh-huh. You know, two things. One, John McCain and the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Mm-hmm. Just watching him flip-flop on that so fast. I don't know if it's because he's actually facing a Republican challenger in his district, but I think this shows how far the Republican base has just gone nuts.
Right, right.
I don't even think there's a Republican base anymore. I don't even think the Republicans know what they are anymore.
He already was bitter and angry during the campaign, but it's like Harry Reid said that. It's just he's against everything now.
I must say, I had respect for John McCain before he ran for president, before this
right.
this bid. He was at least willing to work with Republicans. He was doing, he was working with us. He was actually... He was calm. He was normal. He was actually a decent stand-up guy. Now he's just turned into a douche. I don't know who's even more douchier, Lieberman or McCain.
I know.
And then my second
Well, and
thing
plus,
is,
Tim, it's like the ego. I mean, he just seemed annoyed like they didn't consult with him. Before. I mean, why would you consult with him? The Joint
you
Chiefs
know what?
And...
Maybe Sarah Palin took more of his manhood than he even want to know.
Maybe he thinks he won the election.
Maybe
and he didn't.
I don't know what's going on with John McCain, but then you also have Fox where it's... where suddenly the underwear bomber's not saying anything. We need to get him into military custody. He's not saying anything. Oh, he's talking to the FBI and they're getting a lot of information.
Right, because instead of torturing him, they brought his father in. And then you look at this. How hypocritical is this? The shoe bomber got red Miranda rights. 5 minutes after they caught him, they would have been screaming bloody murder.
Yeah.
I think with the underwear bomber and John McCain and Fox News, it has a direct correlation. If you look at how hypocritical they both are being suddenly and both how just douchey they've all been lately,
yeah.
I think this just shows that the Republican Party is completely broken right now. And yes, they might have won some elections, but that's because, honestly, we didn't have a great candidate.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and I'll show you this Republican poll. It really shows you why we're up against what we're up against. 29 minutes after the hour, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This is a disgusting display.
Boy, you can say that again.
4 minutes after the hour. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, Chris, I forgot to tell you the worst thing in my house.
What?
Here in L.A.
What?
There's a baby in it.
Well, you chose the renters.
No, they're very nice. I'm just, you know, I had to do the fake, cute, blah, blah, blah. You know me, I don't have the, I only have the puppy gene. I don't have the baby gene.
But babies love you.
Yeah. There's baby stuff everywhere. Okay.
What do you, define baby stuff?
Whatever it is babies play. Well, you know me, I don't know what babies play
with. Oh, toys.
Because you remember I had a friend, I told you the story. Back in New York, I had a friend, I had to go to a baby shop, and I don't know what to buy babies.
Right.
And I had another friend that also doesn't have kids, and we were like, where do we go? A hardware store? What is, does baby like a chainsaw? What do you buy a baby? That's just, I don't, baby crap. There was just baby crap everywhere.
Be careful. I mean, baby crap can mean actual baby crap.
No, no.
Okay.
No, I don't. I didn't see any of that.
Okay.
So,
you never know with babies. I mean, they.
Yes. They have, and they have two doggies, and one of them, they're both very cute. One of them not very bright. You know my friend Dick?
Yes.
He apparently jumped off of it because he saw a squirrel, and he's fine. News, but
that's
I was
a
like,
long way down.
I know. I was like, what? Don't dogs have a sense of, you know, but apparently not. He's fine. This is the good news.
They have, dogs have no depth perception?
I guess. I thought so, but I guess not.
Huh. Who knew?
I'm telling you, there's the poltergeist in my house, in my television, maybe told him to, because there's something, I don't know. I have witches in my house.
Gremlins.
Katie in Hudson, Massachusetts, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Katie.
Hey, guys.
Hello.
I had a comment about this don't ask, don't tell repeal. And, you know, I find it fascinating that the opponents of repealing this, you know, keep alluding to and citing that there may be some sort of increase in sexual misconduct among homosexuals if they are allowed to serve openly.
Yeah, however, it's just going to be it's going to be an ecstasy-fueled rave the second they overturn it.
They cite the showers and all this stuff. You know, however, in the history of our military...
It'll just be like full of disco sticks. You know what? They'll probably drop their weapons and pick up disco sticks.
Right, but in the history of our military, the only sexual misconduct that has come to light has been our heterosexual men on our heterosexual women soldiers and civilian women.
Right.
You know, and
maybe we should ban
no
straight serving in the...
talk about that.
Right.
You know, that's rampant in our military. But yet, but the homosexuals are going to just ratchet that right up, and it's going to be a free-for-all. Now.
Yeah.
You know,
I think we need to ban straights serving in the Army if you're basing it on actual evidence of misconduct.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right. I think we need to just have a fabulous all-gay Army. Just saying. George and Tempe, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Fabulous!
I think Chris can back me up. John McCain's been a douche for a really long time.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
He's gonna get douche.
Well, he's always been a jerk, frankly. But
and with J.D. Hayworth running, it's going to get really douchey. I mean, I think Chris knows J.D. as well. He's one of the dumbest.
He worked for my old radio station in Phoenix.
Oh, what a horrible, horrible
he
man.
He is a horrible man. He's a birther, he's a tenther, and he's a teabagger.
It's going to be so much fun to watch the two of them tear each other apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, about a month and a half ago, I was really starting to lose heart, and I was really starting to get down on things. I mean, I think everybody was. And then you guys went on vacation. Hal Sparks had to talk me off a ledge. And then
he's my happy place. Hal Sparks and Joanne Worley are Mama's happy place. He can always talk me back down.
I am looking forward to Joanne. This is going to be great.
Yes.
But, you know, when Hal talked me off the ledge, I started to feel a little better, and then I started to get down again. And all of a sudden last week, when Obama just handed out those two ass whoopings between the State of the Union and that speech on Friday, that just handing their asses to them, it was just awesome.
I know. It did. It reinvigorated us. Thank you, honey. I agree. And the Don't Ask, Don't Tell hearings, unprecedented. Robert Gates, defense secretary.
We've looked at a variety of options, but when you take into account the overriding imperative to get this right and minimize disruption to a force that is actively fighting two wars and working through the stress of almost a decade of combat, then it is clear to us we must proceed in a manner that allows for the thorough examination of all issues.
And once again, gee, who could have seen this coming? The Republicans are against it. Because
in the most homophobic way possible.
Yeah, Susan Collins, the only Republican that even vaguely apparently might consider... Back. I mean, I think Keith kept saying this last night, but how many times did we hear you have to listen to the generals on the ground?
Yeah.
during the Iraq War. I mean, they're just breathtakingly hypocritical.
Mm-hmm.
Admiral Mike Mullen, Joint Chiefs Chairman.
Speaking for myself and myself only, it is my personal belief that allowing gays and lesbians to serve openly would be the right thing to do. No matter how I look at this issue, I cannot escape being troubled by the fact that we have in place a policy which forces young men and women to lie about who they are in order to defend their fellow citizens.
I like him.
Yeah, I mean, and somebody was saying that last night, it was very heartfelt. You could tell it was very, it wasn't just a professional, it seemed really a deeply held personal belief as well.
It sounds like he has a gay or a lesbian family member close to him. It was
Did you sniff that?
I sniffed that, yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, here is John McCain now.
This moment, immense hardship for our armed services. We should not be seeking to overturn the don't ask, don't tell policy.
But
Chris, I have a guess the quote for you.
Oh,
the
okay.
tip is this is was in the year 2006, so it was a long, long, long time ago. Who said the day the leadership of the military comes to me and says, Senator, we ought to change the policy, then I think we ought to consider seriously changing it because those leaders in the military are the ones we give the responsibility to. Who said that?
Goldie Hawn.
No! Really bad guess. John McCain! Isn't that weird? Mm. Yeah, I mean, how arrogant. He criticized Mullen and Gates for formulating opinion before consulting him. Since when does John McCain become the expert? Didn't what he said in 2006 completely belie that?
Absolutely.
He was saying, these are the people that we entrust the military to,
mm-hmm.
that we should listen to.
Right.
And why would you consult with John McCain about whether it's just...
And John McCain had a general or an admiral on the ground right in front of him, and he wasn't listening to him.
Yeah, exactly. Probably because he couldn't hear. Huh?
Huh?
Huh? Okay.
I
said we should overturn Don't Ask. Okay, Grandpa. Turn up your... Okay. Senator McCain.
Fortunately, it is an act of Congress, and it requires the agreement of Congress in order to repeal it.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
He's getting all high and mighty and uppity.
Yeah. He's let's see. The Gates said yesterday the question before us is not whether the military prepares to make this change, but how best we prepare for it. We've received our orders from the commander-in-chief, and we are moving out accordingly. So then, as you just heard, McCain got all persnickety because they didn't consult him. So Senator Saxley Chambliss, Republican asshat of Georgia.
Persons who demonstrate a propensity or intent to engage in homosexual acts would very likely create an unacceptable risk to those high standards of morale.
What?
What? How many times are you going to trot out that musty old talking point? It's like, what? Since when? I mean,
there are gays and lesbians serving in the military right now, and it's not hurting morale one iota.
Yeah, and notice that he was all for the unnecessary and illegal war. That apparently the troops were all for that. They loved being sent into. The morale was great when they were sent into a unnecessary and illegal war on four or five tours with no rest and not the proper equipment. That
right.
That had no effect on morale apparently. But the gay, now that's you know.
I don't like Saxby Chambliss. He makes me wrinkle my nose.
Mm-hmm. All right. so this poll I was talking about, it kind of shows you why we have been up against this solid wall of opposition. It really is a little, we joke, but you're like, wow, this is what the Republicans in this country think. A new poll of self-identified Republicans released Tuesday shows a large slice of the GOP believes President Obama is a socialist who was not born in this country, should be impeached, wants the terrorists to win, and only won the 2008 election because Acorn stole it for him.
What?
I don't even know. What? Where do you even start with all of that?
Oh, my God.
If it was a long time ago, but he did win in a landslide.
Yes, he did.
Which might have been fairly difficult to engineer, I would think.
I think so, too.
According to the poll, 63% of Republicans believe Obama is a socialist. 39% think he should be impeached. There's no word actually for what, but 24% said Obama wants the terrorists to win. And again, no sort of explanation as to why that might be advantageous to him or what 31% agreed with the statement that Obama is a racist who hates white people. 36% do not believe the president was born in this country. 21% think Acorn stole the election for Obama. Nearly a quarter of the Republicans polled, 23%, want their state to secede from the union. Those polled also showed strong opposition. This came as a shock to me. Speaking of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, they showed a strong opposition to the expansion of gay rights. 55% of Republicans polled in this poll said gays should not be allowed to serve openly in the military. 68% believe gay couples should not receive any state or federal benefits. They should not be allowed to play in any of our reindeer games, apparently.
From now on, gang, we won't let Rudolph join in any reindeer games.
73% said openly gay men and women should not be allowed to teach in public schools.
Oh, my God.
Furthermore, 51% believe sex education should not be taught in school. 77% want creationism taught in schools. 31% want contraception outlawed. Hello now. And 34% believe birth control is abortion. So there, ladies and gentlemen, are your Republican friends today.
I'm scared. Why do they hate America?
I am scared as well.
Why do they hate freedom of choice, and why do they hate America?
45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She's your human Prozac. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Joe in Long Beach on John McCain. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Stephanie. Good morning.
Thank you.
Hey, the notion that McCain was any kind of a war hero is really a fantasy. Anyway, it's time for a quick review. He didn't have the academics to qualify for the Naval Academy until his family pulled some strings. In a class of 900, he graduated third from the bottom. Before he was deployed, he crashed two airplanes. When crashing one would get you kicked out. When he was shot down over Vietnam and captured, he squealed like a pig, and he made over 30 videos that were used as propaganda tools by the North Vietnamese. So
I'd rather talk about his more recent douchebaggery. But
it all speaks of his character, and a guy that supposedly is a military expert needs to be examined on his military record, and those are facts.
Yep. All right. Well, the thing that really stuns me is I at this point, you think he has no credibility, Chris. He has flip-flopped on virtually every single topic, and it's almost breathtaking.
It's because he's tacking to the right in order to beat this challenger he's got in Arizona.
Yeah, he's just gotten so bitter. Harry Reid was talking about this. He said he accused him of playing petty politics, being stuck in the 2008 campaign season, refusing to do good things for the country. He was asked about McCain's criticism, for instance, of the Democrat stand against the Yucca, the nuclear waste
Yucca
dump.
Yep.
Yeah. He said, well, John's a great name caller. The election is over. He should leave Barack Obama alone and join with us to do good things for the country. I'm very disappointed in how he's reacted after the election. We've had some people who ran for office and lost who've come back and been great statesmen. John Kerry's one example. Al Gore's another. Jimmy Carter. I just think he has to get over this and move on to something else.
Yeah.
And I think it's true. I think he's just so bitter over losing that he reflexively is just against anything that that this administration is for. Let's go to Jim in Georgia on John McCain. Hello, Jim.
Yes, good morning, Mama.
Good morning.
I'd like to give you the answer that you asked to a question a minute ago about what gives John McCain all this authority. Well, since the day he was born in the Panama Canal Zone, he has been on the government dole every day.
Right.
And he's never had a civilian job. He's always been on the dole. So he knows all about the government.
Yeah.
Now, also, He was retired out of the military. He has 100% disability, and he's not 100% disabled. He doesn't fit the criteria of 100% disabled. But yet he is 100% disabled, you see. So how did he pull that string? Well, I think I know. And also, down here, he is a senator for 30 years, and he gets all that good government health care.
Yep.
So he knows all about the government and all this. And also, one other thing. When you, I believe you were at the Barack Obama's convention when he spoke. And,
sure.
And I think one of your colleagues there was giving a commentary one day that said that you were up in the stand all drunk up, and you were all drinking and everything, and you were showing everybody your cooter. Well, I'd like to be invited to New York so I can see your cooter. Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Okay. No, thank you. You two are such liars. All right. I was with him so far. Like, yeah, what's, like, that's an unusual story. I was drunk. Okay. I was not.
Were you lifting your skirt?
I did not show anyone my cooter at the Democratic convention in Denver.
You were drunk, though.
How dare
you? You stole.
Of course I was, but I don't even know.
You stole a bicycle. You were so drunk.
Oh, well, I did do that.
And didn't you commandeer a rickshaw?
Which one of you said I showed everyone my cooter at the Republican or the Democratic convention?
I didn't say that.
Boy, that story stuck in his head.
It certainly did. Well, it would stuck in anybody's head. I think I would have remembered if I would have told that story.
See what you've encouraged people to do, to ask if they can come to New York and see my cooter. Like, I would just...
some say you give free shows.
Well, you have to buy really good Chardonnay for me. Okay. Kelly in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Stephanie, I think the whole word that we need to use for John McCain and our favorite Democrats this year is cover. What John McCain had when he was asked about it before was he knew he had the cover of the general that was in front of him that was going to say no to don't ask, don't tell. He was going to say, yeah, it works well. And yesterday he didn't know, I don't think, that he wasn't going to get that cover when he came out.
Yeah, somebody said that, like that Mullen surprised him, I think.
Yeah.
Exactly. He has integrity. He came out and he knows what it's like to be in battle. And it's just all you're worried about is that person next to me, can they do the job? I don't care if there's a homosexual or a lesbian or a woman or anybody.
Right.
They want to know, can you do the job?
Yeah.
And that's what you hear all the way down the line. And then the
I mean, what is that? And what is that? I thought that is like the mustiest old argument, morale.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's sex me chambliss use. It's kind of like, oh, yeah, they're going
to
be really depressed.
Does anybody know, has Saxon Chambliss ever been in war or there when they're actually having to look over to that person and say, can you back me up? Can we do this together?
Yeah. That whole argument is just hilarious to me, isn't it, Chris? It's like, what? I'm not stressed so much about maybe getting a shot or blown up every day. It's the gay next to me. It's making me really, you know.
Oogie.
Exactly, droopy. Richard in Tucson, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Richard.
Real good, you guys. Hey, you know, over here, Stephanie, McCain is scared of J.D. Hickworth, and he's got a commercial running on the ads airwaves about how Barack Obama's out to destroy America. And,
yeah.
I
know. Isn't it just incredible?
Yeah.
I mean, and these are the people that you know, he's trying to reach out to help him govern. I mean, it really is incredible.
It is. And he and Senator Kyle have done nothing for this state. I mean, they're so worthless. We're in a financial nosedive over here. They've done nothing
right.
for the housing crisis, nothing on the foreclosures, nothing on the bankruptcies, nothing for our industries. The only thing that they're trying to do is help international mining conglomerates come into our state, rape, pillage, and plunder our mountains to send the copper to China.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's John McCain.
Wouldn't that be great if you guys sent Grampy McSane back to the Barca Lounger?
Oh, my God, to get J.D. Hickworth?
Well,
he can't even speak English.
Yeah, J.D. Hayworth,
I don't
want him. I'd much rather have John McCain than J.D. Hayworth as a senator.
Oh, that's not, that's not saying much.
Not much of a choice, but still.
Yeah, this is, can I have my scary music, please? I've heard about this John McCain ad, but this rhetoric is just, did you see this Meet the Press? Arianna Huffington was on it, and what do you call it, Roger Ailes?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see this whole exchange?
I didn't see it, I read about it, though.
Barbara Walters asked Roger Ailes if the White House and his network of kissed and made up. And he said, well, I'll pick a fight if you want. I'd be happy to get into one. Ariana said, Roger, it's not a question of picking a fight. Aren't you concerned about the language that the Glenn Beck is using, after all, inciting the American people? There's a lot of suffering out there, as you know, when he talks about people being slaughtered and who's going to be going on the next killing spree. Ayers said he's talking about Hitler and Stalin slaughtering people, and I think he was probably accurate. Huffington said, no, he was talking about this administration, which is true. I'll tell you exactly what they've been saying. It's incredible. 58 minutes after the hour, that and more Right Wing World on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. All of us magically live here in Los Angeles together. Oh, I had a horrible nightmare that I moved to New York and it was expensive and dirty and my dogs got sick.
And I wasn't there.
You
Chris
weren't
wasn't
there.
There.
You weren't there.
Rebecca wasn't there.
No, it's true.
I like you better in New York.
Jim has already felt me up, though.
Yes.
Thank you, Jim. Oh, God.
I had to welcome her home.
There's no place like home. There's no place like home. Oh, touch me again.
It's hard to grope someone on the other side of the continent.
I know. You've tried it on Skype a couple of times. It's
not
the same.
No.
Yeah, got my screen all dirty.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. StephanieMiller.com is the website. Check it out. Oh, before we dive into Right Wing World, give me my scary music again, won't you? I was talking about the Meet the Press. Did you see this, Jim, with Roger Ailes and Arianne Huffington calling him out on Glenn Beck's rhetoric? Roger, he was not talking about Stalin and Hitler. He was talking about this administration. And he was. For months, Beck has been linking progressivism to both communism and fascism. More than just highlighting the atrocities committed by Hitler and Stalin, Beck has directly linked them to the progressive movement.
Right.
Progressives want you dead, Beck said just this month. He once said progressive vampires have the taste of blood and are going to start getting more and more violent. He also recently aired a quote-unquote documentary. Ooh, I bet you that had a lot of Veritas.
Yeah.
On the atrocities of Hitler, Stalin, Mao...
And Obama.
Che Guevara. Yeah, Obama, all the well-known...
And you know who idolizes Hitler and Mao? The C Streeters?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The true unseen history of Marxism, progressivism, and communism, as Beck describes it, it turned out to be the film not all that accurate, as it turned out.
Really?
History professors called it a complete lie that Beck lives in a complete alternate universe. Beck also once likened himself to the Israeli Nazi hunters, saying, to the day I die, I'm going to be a progressive hunter.
What the hell?
So that's
that would make you a Nazi. If you're hunting liberals, you are an extreme right wing.
You are the exact definition of
a Nazi.
Yeah,
you're a Nazi.
All right. So speaking of right wing world, Carl Frisch, our buddy, our pal in the sidecar from Media Matters for America. Good morning, Carl.
Good morning. Did I tell you guys about my new documentary?
No.
The true story of Glenn Beck, asylum patients, and crackpot hobos.
I love a good documentary about hobos.
Yay.
I'm not saying they're the same. I'm just saying.
And you didn't even have to dress as a telephone man.
I did not.
To film it. All right. Let's dive into the right wing world. Steve Hayes, I bet you he's in the dirt hole behind Fox News.
This is a policy that's outlived its usefulness. And I don't think there
don't
is
ask.
A reason that a proud, patriotic, gay or lesbian American shouldn't be able to serve, shouldn't be able to choose to put his or her life at risk in order to defend the country.
Wow. That can't have been Fox-sanctioned, can it, Carl?
Well, we'll see how much more he gets on the air. But, it's kind of odd seeing a bunch of adult men on Fox News like Bill O'Reilly talk, this is an anti-gay, this is about feeling comfortable in the barracks, you know, in the shower. When you have a falafel in your hand.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yes. We'll be right back.
It's hard. You just every time Bill O'Reilly brings up the shower, you can hear the giggling from across the country.
It's as if I can hear it on somebody's voicemail.
All right. Michael Mukasey, former attorney general on the Fox and Freaks on the terror trials.
It makes it look like amateur night down there. Yes, it makes us look weak. It is weakness. And I can't understand the reason for the vacillation. I can't understand the choice to bring it to New York in the first place.
You know, it really is quite stunning, isn't it? The number of terror trials they had the exact same way under the Bush administration. I mean, what do you even say to that, Carl?
It's Bushnesia.
Yes.
You know? Anything that happened in the 8 years leading up to the Obama White House is completely forgotten, particularly by the people that served in it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this is why Karl Rove can get up there and complain about Obama not responding publicly for, you know, for three full days to the Christmas bomber, when it took Bush 6 days to respond publicly to the shoe bomber.
Right. Who, as you know, the breaking news yesterday, was read his Miranda rights four times. It turns out Richard Reed, the shoe bomber, was read or reminded of his Miranda rights four times in 2 days, beginning 5 minutes after being taken into custody. Furthermore, of course, the Bush administration specifically rejected the idea of a military tribunal in that case.
Huh. Right, but remember that the Bush people, you know, they also read Miranda rights to all kinds of people. So
right.
When we get to hear these complaints, it's interesting. I'll just leave it at that. Except,
yeah.
Well, and so painful.
Obviously, you know, the other big news yesterday is that the underwear bomber is singing like a canary,
yeah.
You know, without benefit of torture. They're using, you know, actual techniques that work, like
right,
bringing his father
him water
in
to drink as opposed to drowning
yes.
him in it.
Yes, exactly. All right, O'Reilly on the economy.
What we have is financial chaos. But the Obama administration doesn't see it that way. It believes it can run up the massive debt and somehow pay for it all down the road, primarily by raising taxes. People like me will soon pay about 50% of their income in taxes, and corporations will get hit as well.
Again, a lot of people didn't raise a peep when the debt was what it was under Reagan, Bush, whatever, right?
Right, and, you know, the tax rates are all going back to Clinton-era tax rates. It's funny O'Reilly should, you know, play his populist cards and say, I'm going to pay 50% in taxes. Well, you know, I don't think that people would be too upset if we had an O'Reilly tax where we taxed him to into the middle class.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, speaking of O'Reilly's show, here's Monica Crowley saying something that is completely the opposite of the truth about the Republicans' Obama meeting.
I think it was smart for both sides, to tell you the truth. The president handled himself quite well, but so did the Republicans. And whenever the president trotted out his talking points, the Republicans pushed back very effectively.
Fecklessly, she had to say.
Wow.
Effectively is one of those new words you're going to be hearing, you know, much like homicide bomber.
yeah.
It's the new Luntzian word that's being pushed around. You know that the GOP did absolutely horrible when Monica Crowley gets on TV to say how good both sides did.
Yeah, it was a draw, really. Yeah, they both look good.
Sure,
I mean,
really, the kid lost in the shootout, but he tried hard.
Yeah, like Butch Cassidy in the Sundance. That was a draw there at the end. All right, Hannity on the president.
The president sounding like a fiscal conservative last week and then proposes a budget that will even be with a deficit larger than even last year, which nearly quadrupled President Bush's last budget.
What?
So the question is, you know, why aren't any of these Democrats abandoning ship? Why aren't they saying, you know what, enough's enough. Sorry, this isn't going to work for me in my reelection. I'm gonna vote on my principle, and I'm gonna follow what my constituents want. Why are we seeing more of that?
Why aren't we, Sean? Because apparently the American people know how to do math.
Right.
You know, they didn't get the numbers wrong by $70 trillion or whatever it was, like Sean Hannity has all week. You know, so they see it a little bit differently. They don't forget about the last 2 years of the Bush White House when they calculate their numbers and claim that Obama started off in a pretty good position.
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. I was saying, you know, it, particularly today, Carl, it just seems like they literally have zero credibility on every issue. I mean, it just everything they say about deficits, they said nothing during Bush. They had how many terror trials, criminal trials under Bush? They were all for it. I mean, every single issue, they clearly are just against it because Obama is for it.
Yeah, he could cure cancer, and they'd beg for more chemo.
Right. Yeah. Right. Look at Don't Ask, Don't Tell. You know, it's like McCain on record saying we should do whatever the generals on the ground tell us. How many times did we hear that during the Iraq War?
You know what I find interesting about that? First of all, remember I worked for him in 2000.
That's
and
right.
I remember when he told a bus full of reporters that he could spot them when he served with them. He has gaydar. So, and the second thing is, you know, the major flip-flop here and how the media is covering it as just a, you know, kind of a flip-flop. They're not saying why. On the night of the State of the Union, after Obama announced his plans for Don't Ask, Don't Tell, McCain put out a statement saying that he was against it. He didn't put it out on his official Senate website. He put it up on his campaign website.
Yep.
So this maverick man that never plays politics has been more partisan than the media could ever possibly remember, but they don't cover it like that because he's in the middle of a very tough primary.
Yep, absolutely. All right, one last one, Hannity again on the
There deficit. You have it. Record-setting deficits, a slew of new tax increases. Doesn't exactly sound like a recipe for economic growth.
Yeah, it does, actually.
Yeah.
Putting money into the economy.
Yeah.
Well, I think his idea is if we just did exactly what Bush did, then we can really have two Americas. The idea that going back to some kind of Clinton economic policies with a bit more populism and progressivism in there would be damaging is just absurd.
Right. But the problem, Carl, is, you know, we can laugh at it, but Sean Hannity really does use the term Clinton-Gore recession. He really does skip the last 8 years.
Well, and, you know, he believes that Clinton was responsible for 9/11.
Right.
Yes.
They inherited 9/11 from Clinton.
I think they probably believe that Obama's the one that made up the videos of the man walking on the moon. they believe that anything bad in the Bush administration was either the result of Clinton or they closed their eyes until it was under Obama.
Right.
Yeah. How about this new poll of Republicans? Did you see that? The large percentage that think Acorn stole the election for Obama in 2008.
Yeah. There is James O'Keefe for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was talking to on Countdown last night, and the question of what kind of journalism is this? You know, he keeps on calling it investigative journalism. Investigative journalism isn't when you have your conclusions and then you seek the evidence to prove your conclusions, and then you announce your conclusions. That's junk science.
Oh, come on, Carl. Some people's journalism is other people's felonies. You know how it is. It's
well,
all relative.
You know, I never thought I'd live to see the day that a right-wing hack like O'Keefe would essentially plead the fifth in a softball interview by Sean Hannity.
Yeah, that's right. I watched that interview. It was amazing. Hannity didn't press him at all on anything.
No, but he also didn't answer the question.
Right.
He was telling Sean Hannity what he didn't do, but he refused to tell him what he did do.
Right.
Purely fascinating. And I love the new excuse that he was in the quote-unquote people's office.
I
live in Washington, D.C. We have a public zoo, the People's Zoo.
Right.
I'm not going to have a couple friends dressed like a zookeeper so I can go pet a panda.
Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America. Thank you, sir. See you next time.
Have a good week.
All right, you too. There he goes.
Hooray!
Carl Frisch.
You know, it turns out that McCain isn't really that much of a hypocrite. He's not listening to the generals on the ground because we've got an admiral in the water in charge. So it's
technically.
Having served in the Navy, he has no reason to.
Yeah.
Listen to an admiral.
Exactly. Okay. All right. You know, kids, as you know, Mama's a little bit of a workout queen.
Yes,
now that I'm back in L.A. for a few days, I'm going to go to my B Celebrity gym again.
Why go there when you can do P90X?
Because I got to wait to get back to New York. My P90X is in New York.
Okay, gotcha.
Mm-hmm. But I, you know, that's the thing. A lot of people, you don't either like going to a gym. It's expensive. You just, there's driving and everything involved. Here's what I'm going to do. A P90X is a home workout. It includes strength training. I can do it with my dogs, which is a big plus for me, as you know.
So your dogs are going to get ripped abs, too?
It includes strength training, cardio, yoga, you name it. You're always working your body from different angles so you don't plateau, you don't get overuse injuries, and you don't get bored. You know, a lot of people have gym memberships or they have exercise equipment gathering dust. This one, you do right at home, and you can keep changing it so that you don't get bored. I'm going to be taking the P90X challenge and posting my results online. We're going to do before and after pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
How much will you be wearing during these after pictures?
That's what America wants Christmas. To know.
We haven't determined yet.
Oh.
All right. I challenge you, especially my male listeners, do the same. Let's see if we can get go from soft to rock hard and ripped in just 90 days. By the time the weather warms up, we will be in the best shape of our lives. P90X. It comes completely risk-free. Call now, 800-509-9438. That's 800-509-9FIT. See how they did that?
That's easy to remember.
800-509-FIT. Or go right to stephaniemiller.com, click on that banner ad. 20 minutes after the hour, right back with the new Frank Lutz memo. Oh, whoops. How did that get out? As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Look, the two symbols of the Republican Party, an elephant and a big fat white guy who's threatened by change.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I'm doing that right now.
Wow.
Whatever that is.
I miss seeing that. What? 25.
A zoom, 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 and a boom, boom.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, now the president is talking to the Democrats.
Yes.
He's probably getting tougher questions.
Place the economy at the top of the agenda to put America back to work and to provide jobs.
Our
jobs, jobs. I have a two-part question and just a brief statement of the issue. We have lost 2,300,000 jobs as a result of the trade imbalance with China between 2001 and 2007. The remedies to save those jobs are very ineffective. Long delays, proceedings before the International Trade Commission, subject to being overruled by the president. We have China violating international law with subsidies and dumping, really a form of international banditry. They take our money, and then they lend it back to
windy,
us.
Windy, isn't he?
Oh, now yeah. A big part of the United States.
Pardon me?
The first part of my question is,
when do we start bombing?
Would you support more effective remedies to allow injured parties, unions which lose jobs, companies which lose profits, by endorsing a judicial remedy, if not in U.S. courts, perhaps in an international court.
For the love of God, Arlen.
And eliminate the aspect of having the ITC decisions overruled by the president.
God.
Done four times.
I hope he kicks the Democrats' ass, too.
2005 at a cost of a tremendous number
right,
of jobs.
I'm going to hang myself. I'm sorry.
You didn't listen to a word he said, did you?
I get his
I mean,
point,
it was an interesting
sake,
question.
You can ask that question in, like, 9 seconds, can't you?
No. It's pretty complicated.
Well, yes, but that was... all right. Yeah. I'm a woman. I'm a Joe Sestak fan.
Okay. Did you see Joe Sestak was at some kind of rally? I think it was yesterday or the day before. And Arlen Specter got up on stage and, like, crashed it.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yes. And, Sestak was being there, being all polite, and Arlen just wouldn't get off the stage.
Did he dive into the mosh pit?
He's so young and hep.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Mike in Chicago. Oh, Mike, you got a big elections going on today.
Yesterday.
Yesterday. Sorry.
It was only about 33%. It was real weak here.
Ugh.
I voted, though, so.
Yeah. It's Barack Obama's old seat, correct?
Yeah, it is. And unfortunately, Julianis, the Greek Democrat, my whole thing is he's in his early 20s, and I mean, he's just got an arrogant swagger about him, which I'm not a big fan of. I wanted to tell you, first of all, Rush wanted me to let you know that you're a babe on some days.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Isn't Arlen Specter also like audio NyQuil when you listen to him? Isn't it just...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I can't help it. I'm just... And the incredible melting face. I don't know. I just think...
Oh.
I have too many bad memories of the Anita Hill hearings. I'm sorry.
Now, what angers bothers me about the whole Democratic Party is that no one on the floor has the hoppity hops to say, as far as security goes with the trials in Manhattan, you Republicans are aware that the UN is in Manhattan, and we don't seem to have a problem protecting all the world leaders when they're in town. But if we try a cave dweller from the Flintstone era here, we'll be in danger.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I know. And what better evidence do you need than the fact that this underwear bomber is singing like crazy? You know, they're using smart techniques that have, you know, that actually get information instead of a torture, which doesn't. 29 minutes after the hour, back with, Terrell Clark, who's going to beat Michelle Bachmann.
That's right.
For Congress in Minnesota, next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She looks at the world through hopeful eyes and maintains an uncommon resilience that can only be admired. In this sense,
Stephanie Miller
is not the typical American girl. She is far sweeter and kinder than that.
Right. Whatever. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. You know, some people are not allowed to use the word bat crazy Minnesota Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann.
Yes.
But I can.
Yes, you can.
Because I got no class. All right. I went to the Blue State Ball, you know. When was that? A couple of weeks ago where, you know, the pole dancing incident occurred?
Yeah. I heard it was a lot of fun.
It was a great time.
Save for the incident.
Pulling the building down.
Yeah. Well, I bring the trash and some people bring the class. Like Terrell Clark, who's running for Congress, is going to beat the aforementioned bat crazy Michelle Bachmann. Good morning, Terrell.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Thanks so much for coming. It was great to meet you at the Blue State Ball.
Yes, that was a good time and lots of people ready to make sure that we're winning elections this fall.
I get so many calls from Minnesota people that just consider Michelle Bachmann the biggest embarrassment ever to Minnesota. I mean, I don't even know what to say about her.
Well, I think the bottom line is that, you know, there's a lot of people that are out there that know that she's fighting. The question, who is she fighting for? I mean, it's not me or you. It's not any of us. You know, she's out there pursuing her own agenda. So I've been telling people lately that if they want to see Michelle be retired, that their penance for giving people grief in Minnesota about her is they should go to our website, www.terrellclark.com, and contribute, because we need to work together on this.
Well, you're attracting a lot of attention up there. You've raised, I guess, more than $600,000. You've got Walter Mondale, Senator Al Franken, among others, endorsing you, correct?
Yes, and what I'm even more excited about is the over 5,000 individuals who have joined our campaign in just a few months, which means this is going to be the kind of grassroots campaign we need to finally have to defeat her.
What now? Somebody tried to explain your district there, the 6th district. It's a weird, because I'm like, how does one elect Michelle Bachmann? I mean, what are the challenges you're up against there?
You know, the bottom line is, until she made that awful comment before the last election, she'd actually done a pretty good job keeping her mouth shut. But now she, you know, is again off doing her own celebrity thing.
Right.
And so I think that's going to help us with the voters. But the bottom line is that we've had some good people that have run before, but I'm the only person that's ever been elected in the district. And we know that you have to have the resources early. You have to have the volunteers early. And we can and will win this race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bottom line is enough people voted against her last time.
Right.
It's just the resources came way too late to take her on directly. And, you know, with your help, with others that are listening, we can make sure that doesn't happen again.
Right. Well, Terrell, it does seem like that, you know, more and more with this, the teabagging things and her TV stuff, it seems like she's more interested in flirting with Sean Hannity than actually doing anything on behalf of Minnesota. So,
yes, absolutely. She's more interested in kind of her own thing instead of working for people. And, you know, the 6th district has the highest unemployment rate in the state, the highest rate of foreclosures, and time and again she's voted against anything that would actually help people in the district. So, you know, if she wants to do this other thing, fine, but that's not what her job is. The job is to come together and actually come up with solutions and get things done.
She did come up with that fancy, what was it called, the Declaration of Healthcare Independence thing, something.
Yes, I went to have my physical last week, and my doctor is not a political person, but she came in and said, I don't understand this. She wants a declaration of independence from health care. Is she against health care? Does she want people to be sick? What is this? You know, she's saying these things instead of focusing on the kinds of things that we know would make a difference, not just for Minnesotans, but for Americans.
Right.
And we've got a lot of good solutions in Minnesota, so it's kind of an interesting thing she doesn't care to pick up on anymore.
Well, somebody was asking the other day, they're like, how does a place like Minnesota, how do you elect Michelle Bachmann and Al Franken in the same state?
Well, again, I think, you know, it says something about both the kinds of campaigns and making sure that people know us. Because, frankly, Michelle can come across as attractive and articulate, and you know she's quite, you know, she knows what she's doing.
Right.
That's why we take this really seriously. We're going to have the strongest grassroots campaign that's ever been seen, and we're going to make sure with all of your help that we have the resources to beat her. So I'm going to keep saying, go to TerrellClark.com and tell your friends, because
all right,
we need people right now to be signing up and helping out. And yes, I know I have an interesting name. I know you guys were talking about that the other day.
Terrell, that's right.
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, because I put your card in my purse, and there was a Werther's candy stuck to it and a penny and some gum. So it took me a while to find it.
I'm impressed. You found it.
Yes.
We should point out it's spelled T-A-R-R-Y-L.
Right.
That's right.
And
we have Terrell Clarks around.
And we have a link to your website right there front and center at stephaniemiller.com. So.
Excellent.
How about that? Consider it a shout-out. And you rock on. Rock on, sister. Check back in with us.
Sounds great.
All right. There she goes. Future Congresswoman Terrell Clark of the great state of Minnesota.
And she's a babe. I should think.
Jim, must you?
Yes.
Okay.
But
I guess she must.
But she kind of is. You know, go to her website and you'll see.
Yeah. I mean, very nice of her to say Michelle Bachmann's attractive, but I guess if you like him that crazy. Well, as Jim sometimes says, crazy in the head, crazy in the bed.
Well,
but I'm just saying.
But
that's a little too much crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. But Terrell Clark was right. She seems more impressed with her own star power than working for the people of Minnesota.
Yeah, well, exactly.
And Terrell,
getting on TV and getting flirting with, what's his name, the stunning Steve King of Iowa.
Right.
You be the man, Michael Steele.
In my opinion, she is the Congress slut. Look at her, slut.
Slut. She's a slut. Look at her, slut.
Although you flirt with Larry King.
Ooh.
Well, I think anyone can understand that. Ken in South Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Morning,
hi, Ken.
Stephanie.
Good morning.
Yeah, you made me listen to that Harlan Specter thing, man. I can't take that.
I know. You almost drove off the road, huh?
He's going to be in corner anyway pretty soon. But the reason why I called you was, despite what President Pinocchio Obama says, there is the right to serve in the United States military.
President Obama, the inference would be that he's a liar?
Well, I don't know that he's a liar, but he doesn't understand the fact.
That's what the Pinocchio reference means.
Oh, well, he is a liar.
All right.
I'm not saying he's a liar.
He's just a liar.
Saying he's a liar.
Okay, so wait, so go say again about what? About serving in the military is not what?
It's not a right. In his State of the Confusion speech, he said that it was a
that's
right
a good
to
one.
Serve. There is no right to serve in the United States military. It's based on qualifications.
Well, yeah, but they are qualified. That's the point.
Yeah.
I mean, highly decorated fighter pilots like Fehrenbach.
That
guy, an Arab translator who's...
Okay, Ken, the issue is that highly qualified service people are being discharged only because they're gay.
Yeah.
Well, see, let me ask you a question. Why do people want to serve openly
that.
As gay?
Pardon me?
Why do they want to be...
Sometimes they're outed by other people.
Gay.
Right. It's not always their choice.
You know what I think? I think this is purely political. I think it's just a political...
So you don't think we need people fluent in Arabic serving in Iraq? That's just, you know...
Well, you know what? I believe that was a political stunt, too. If these people...
What?
Really wanted to serve,
speaking Arabic is a political stunt?
No, but say, coming out saying they were gay, and every time this issue comes up, you hear the same.
But they were forced by the military to lie, which is against the code of conduct at West Point. That was Dan Choi's point.
No, they're not forced to lie.
Yes, they are.
No, they are not forced to lie. There is don't ask, don't tell. We won't ask and you don't tell.
Yeah, but somebody else was telling. Someone else was telling. It wasn't their choice.
Yeah, so in that sense, the military has been violating the policy. They've been asking.
Violating the don't tell part.
If you've ever been in a military unit, you understand the closeness and the unity and the adhesion to
adhesion?
The adhesion?
You would understand.
Ken, got news for you. There are gays in the military right now. And if you served, you served right alongside them.
Well, if they're there, they're there on a secret basis, and it's not a primary issue. What you want to do and what the political folks want to do is make it a social experiment.
What?
You want to take and take the military and make a social experiment out of it.
Well, it's working quite well in Australia and Great Britain and Norway and Sweden. And
it's already been experimented. Yeah. We know the facts now.
There's no problem with unit cohesion in those other armies. And he
actually,
said unit adhesion.
Said adhesion, which I think would be better with more gays. What? It would affect unit adhesion?
You might start unit adhesion where someone glues your Johnson to your leg in the middle of the night. Yeah, that would be bad for morale.
Because that's a notorious gay prank. There was just a story in the news today. Actually, that happens more often. It was a woman actually glued a man's Johnson to his stomach. It was a jilted lover.
That would hurt.
Yeah. I think that's more of a straight thing, frankly. Okay.
Frankly.
Let's go to Jackie in Santa Cruz. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Yes, I woke up to the sounds of high ridicule concerning my favorite Arlen Specter, and I'm very disappointed.
Uh-oh. Your favorite? Why is he your favorite?
Listen, he's old, so am I. The guy has guts. Admit it. He left the Republican Party, went over the Democrats.
Well, because he was going to lose. I don't know if you call that guts.
Wait a minute. He risked ridicule. He's smart. He's intelligent. He has the ability to field really difficult, complex answers. The old guy has smarts, and he's got guts, and I admire him. And as far as Anita Hill is concerned, remember what Joe Biden did? And that furor about Anita Hill, he was really smarmy to her, and he made fun of her. So please don't talk about my friend Arlen, okay?
Your friend Arlen. All right.
Other than that, I love you.
All right. I love you too, Jackie. Bye. What? I don't remember the Biden thing, but I certainly remember Arlen Specter in the Anita Hill hearings. But okay. I certainly got her dander up this morning, didn't I?
Yes. Single bullet lie.
You were schooled.
Yes. All right. Her friend, Arlen Specter. Well, 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Don't you wish your girlfriend was a freak like her? It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I don't get the tings.
You don't get them?
Love them.
I do too. I love that other song of theirs. My name is Stacy.
That's good. No, that's
it. That's not my name. That's not my name.
That's what it is.
That's not my name. That's not my name. Don't call me that. That's not my name.
Okay, that's great.
1-800-STEP-12, the phone number.
Well, I think we hit upon a nerve.
Ira Gershwin's rolling in his grave right now.
Jim and I were old. We were just singing show tunes during the break.
Yeah. And I was like, what the hell is that?
Try to remember the kind of September.
Follow. Yeah, I know, we're old. Okay.
What the hell is that?
What is it? Try to remember.
It's from the Fantastics.
We have the musical theater gene. Sue in Rockville, Maryland. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning, Steph. Good morning, Mooks.
Hello, good morning.
I'm glad some people are warm.
I know. Ha ha, meaner. I escaped for a couple of days.
I went away last week somewhere warm when it was warm here, and now we got socked with snow again here in Maryland. So, you know, bad choices. I have a game that I've started playing with all my right-wing friends and passing around called Name One Thing. And they have to name one positive thing the Republicans have done since Obama took office. Not to just lie, obstruct, or whatever. If they want to govern so badly, what is the one thing? Name just one. And so far, I've won every game.
Yeah, exactly. That's not a hard one to win. Yeah, did you see this, Jim? The Frank Luntz memo. I know this is not shocking, I suppose, to anybody, but so in fact, at the SmackDown with the Republicans, Obama last week had called out GOP strategist Frank Luntz for pursuing tactics meant to simply box in Obama rather than pursue substantive policy
He's
debate.
A propagandist.
Yes.
Psyops.
True to form, a new Frank Luntz memo has been obtained by the Huffington Post. It lays out the arguments and language Republicans should use to kill financial reform. His main tip, Jim, just lie.
Right.
Lie?
Exactly.
I mean, how are we pretending any longer that they really have any interest in solving any of our problems? The new memo instructs opponents of financial reform to simply lie about reform legislation and twist economic anxiety resulting from the recession into fear of any government effort to fix the underlying cause of the financial crisis. The most dishonest argument is that financial reform would punish taxpayers while rewarding big banks and credit card companies. In reality, top financial industry lobbyists are not only fighting proposed overnight oversight regulations, but have recently said they're opposed to any regulation at all.
So the exact opposite of what Frank Luntz says is what you should believe.
Yes. Oh, and here's something that I'm sure is a complete coincidence. You might want to get our new drama sting ready, Chris.
Sure.
His clients, Luntz, other Luntz clients, Jim, AmeriQuest Mortgages, Merrill Lynch and Bear Stearns, and American Express.
Huh.
All of which would benefit, oddly, financially,
strange,
if there were no regulation.
Confusing the public, of course, a point of Luntz's work in an interview explaining his smears against health reform, Luntz told the New York Times last year it didn't matter what the actual policy offered was, he would still call it a Washington takeover.
Well, right, of course. I mean, that's what he does. Why would anyone be surprised by this? And why does Bill Maher have him on the show? God, the guy's a creep.
Yeah.
Well, so is Bill Maher sometimes. But
well, that is true.
The other thing is these, you know, all the teabag party, all the teabag, what do you call it, groups?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really is. There's a story out today on Think Progress about how Republican operatives are exploiting economic anxiety. They're all, remember the teabagger convention? Someone said it smells scammy. It's because it is scammy.
It's very scammy.
They don't care about you and your problems. Republican partisans aided by lobbyists and corporate front groups are exploiting the legitimate feelings of anger and distrust among struggling Americans. These operatives and profiteers, many of them experienced PR professionals, have set up sophisticated social networking portals and online solutions to control the flow of information within the teabagging organizations. So they try to make this seem like this grassroots thing of the people, and it's these guys, all the dick armies of the world, just making money.
Yep.
As I think I mentioned, you do need a dick army for a good teabagging.
Oh, dear.
Tea Party profiteers are making millions cashing in on the movement. They're selling Tea Party support to candidates and policies which continue the legacy of Bush-era unregulated capitalism and corporate bailouts. So, it has nothing to do with the, ordinary folk, as Bill O'Reilly would say. Let's go to Leslie in Charleston, South Carolina. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Leslie.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Quick thing, in regards to the one crazy representative from Minnesota,
yes,
I will take that over the three crazy politicians that I have in my state.
That's true.
Something's
up in South Carolina.
This is probably why I don't drink the water. Maybe that's what it is. And I stay with filtered, bottled water and not straight out of my tap. So I just wanted to say that, you know, Minnesota, yeah, you do have it rough with bat crap crazy Michelle Bachmann. But I will take that any day of the week and twice on Sundays in comparison to water ligament.
Okay. All right. However, you know, some people in Minnesota would like to be crazy free entirely in the representation. Vicky in Michigan, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Hey, Vicky.
Yes, I just wanted to say that the guy that called in that said, you know, serving in the military wasn't a right, he's probably correct. But there.
Yeah, but the other thing is the president didn't say that it's a right to serve in the military.
Anyone who says, no, gays shouldn't be in the military, well, the don't ask, don't tell obviously means they know there are gays, there are lesbians in the military. And the ones that you see being discharged, that's just a small percentage, and look at the excellent job those people were doing. Think about how much better they could do if they didn't have the stress of living this double life.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Exactly.
Plus,
good point.
It doesn't make economic sense. I mean, it takes a lot of money to train somebody to be a combat F-15 pilot like Victor Fadenbach, and to kick him out because he's gay and deny him his pension, it's insane.
Theo in San Francisco on Don't Ask, Don't Tell as well. Hi, Theo.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Sorry about the noise. I'm waiting on a bus for work.
Oh.
I served in the military. I went in under Bill Clinton right after Don't Ask, Don't Tell was passed. I served openly gay. I had no problems with any unit, cohesion, adhesion, plus adhesion, minus adhesion. No one had a problem with me. The first sergeant liked to scream about the faggot president, and the captain would tell me not to worry about him, put his hands down my pants.
Oh,
there's
dear.
Lots of gays in the military.
Wow.
We all serve with pride, dignity, and honor, and we put our lives on the line daily for schmuck drivers like that guy who called in complaining about us.
Yeah.
He has freedom because of people like me,
yep.
And I'm gay.
Yep, there you go. All right,
thank you
honey.
For your service, Theo.
Yeah, thank you. Sherry and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Welcome. Well, hey, I just want to say, isn't it ironic that our war in Iraq is called Operation Freedom? Yes, gays and lesbians do not have the freedom to serve in the military.
Yes.
And then I also just want to say that what are these people concerned about? That if this law is repealed, that all the gays and lesbians in the military are going to open the windows and start to yell, we're gay as hell, we're not going to
change. Yes, exactly. Well, that's what I mentioned, Jim. I think there would be a lot of people, soldiers would drop their weapons and pick up disco sticks.
Do you know what a disco stick is?
Not really.
Okay.
Lori in Minneapolis.
I'd be careful.
I'm not sure Lady Gaga knows what it is.
It's something that Lady Gaga uses, isn't it? It's a glow stick, something.
No, I think it's a euphemism for it.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Stephanie.
Wow.
Lori.
I didn't catch that.
Lori in Minneapolis.
Hi, Stephanie. One of the concerns that I have about dealing with the right-wingers who call in and say, yeah, but you should just shut up about the sexuality when you're in the military, is that it's not just about, well, sometimes we're outed. It's bigger than that. It's why should we shut up about our partners and our families?
There right. You go. All right. Hump Days with Hal next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. The Dow is down 30 points. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice, Deedee, Jim Ward, associate producer, Rebecca Taylor, me, Stephanie Miller. Ooh, some breaking news.
Disturbing breaking news. Transportation Secretary has advised owners of all recalled Toyotas to stop driving them and seek repair.
Yeah.
That's huge. Because Toyota is the number one car maker in America.
Yeah,
it applies to Lexus. So
you're talking to someone that's driving a rented Hyundai here in L.A. So I.
Well, I don't know if it applies to Lexus or Scion.
I know there were some Lexus models that had the same problem with the accelerator.
Oh dear.
But I don't know which ones.
Yeah. So you should seek out if your car needs to be stopped driving and repaired.
All right. You can email us all at the StephanieMiller.com as Kyle in Albuquerque did. Mama, I thought you'd enjoy this posting from Sarah Palin's Facebook page in response to her rant about Rahm Emanuel. You heard he had a little faux pas. He called something, do you have a bleep button ready? He called something retarded.
Yeah, I heard that.
Over this, yeah, anyway. Oh. So Sarah Palin calling on him to resign and blah, blah.
Well, no, he should. Well,
yeah.
There are other reasons for him to resign, but...
but not that.
No.
Anyway, so someone wrote...
apologize, he should.
and he did.
I don't know who...
Why, like you're talking, am I?
Posted
apologize,
on,
he should.
Somebody posted on Sarah Palin's Facebook, shut up, you dumb piece of crap. Who are you? Just disappear into your dysfunctional daughter's life, white trash ice hooker.
Oh.
Oh, dear. I'm not advocating that. I was just saying. Okay, Kim in Seattle writes, Steph, yesterday Grampy McCain had an onion on his belt and yelled at Admiral Mullen to get off his lawn. He was majorly pissed off that Don't Ask, Don't Tell was going to be repealed. I guess Nolan told him about the video machine that caught him saying he would support repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell if the military said they wanted it gone. Someone needs to wheel Grampy away and give him some pudding. Kim in Seattle.
I think that's true.
Apparently he thinks Lieutenant J.G. outranks an admiral. I don't think that's true.
Yeah, exactly.
1.5 stripes.
All right. The more important thing is, you know, there are two things in the world that make me happy.
What?
Joanne Worley and Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Hump Days with Joanne Worley. That'd be something.
No. Hal Sparks joins us from our New York bureau. Hello, Hal.
Hello. Yes, I'm sitting in the... It's so lonely here without you.
Aww. See? Welcome to my world.
I know. I totally am getting a picture of what you're going through and, you know, in your transition to New York.
Ground control to Major Tom.
Yes, I was so intimidated after our one date that I had to put 3,000 miles between us for a cooling off period.
As soon as you found out I was coming this way.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah.
You did have the best line ever. When I think I mentioned that I thought you had roughly around 1,000 girlfriends, and you said, how will I find the one unless I try them all?
I think that's a legitimate concern. I have a pet peeve of those people who go, you know what? We're so lucky to find each other. We found the one, and it's amazing. And it just so happened she worked in accounting at my office. Isn't that weird? Isn't it weird that we were so... Yeah, I think you settled. I think you're trying to paint it up. Yeah. Go meet 100,000 people and then tell me you found the one. And then that's actually me being more romantic, because I think you should look a little harder.
Oh, you know, you missed out. You could have been my date tonight. By the way, hit the party music. Rebecca rocks. Guess what? She got me into a party at Ariana's tonight.
Wow.
Ariana's having a party for Squint and the Meat Puppet.
Oh.
Darling.
That's Charlie Pierce.
Wait a minute. You're going to be there with Scarborough?
Yes. It's a party for Mika Brzezinski's new book.
Oh. Does Joe Scarborough know what you say about him?
Yeah, let's hope not. It could be awkward.
Can you also ask him officially? I've always wondered which member of our gang he was when he was a kid. I keep getting it screwed up. I think it's Scotty, but that was Beretta. And anyways, he's still got the same hairdo. It should be easy to do, but I don't know why. It's difficult to pin down.
Anyway, wait, hit the party music again. Oh. Among the expected guests, I'm told.
Uh-huh.
Bill Maher, John Cusack, Larry David, Lawrence O'Donnell, Tracy Ullman, Jerry Bruckheimer, Ron Meyer. Let's see.
Jerry Bruckheimer.
Bruckheimer,
not Bruckheimer.
Whatever.
No, whatever. Yeah,
Roy Seacoff, who I just enjoyed Behar with in New York. He's the editor of the Huffington Post. And senior editor Willow Bay, also expected. So Mom will have some stories tomorrow morning.
Wow.
All right.
Jim... Jim likes Willow Bay.
Yeah, my ears perked up.
All right.
It's going to be a wonderful party, darling.
Come to the party, my house.
Come to the party. It's good.
No, Lisa, no.
I'll make everyone a blogger.
Wait a minute. Stephanie, this is tonight?
Yes.
Remember, you get up 3 hours earlier on this
coast. I know. Look at me thinking I'm on New York party time.
Yeah, good luck with that. It doesn't matter, because I've seen you here, too, and it's a nightmare here. You know, this... whole city that never sleeps thing, really, when you have to get up at 9 o'clock in the morning and look at people on the subway, you recognize why they're so grumpy. Because they just don't care.
Yeah.
They all have schedules like Steph's, and they all go to bed at 4 and get up at 6.
If you ever want to see a million faces that have lost the will to live, just go on any subway in New York.
I want to wake up in a city that doesn't bathe.
And by the way,
refuses to nap.
By the way, if you want to see Hal Sparks' face in New York City...
Yes.
You can go to HalSparks.com and go to the live stream section. He
That's
is streaming on camera right now.
Absolutely. And they can listen to the show live. It's another way they can join us and hear the whole show. And we've got 241 people in the chat room already, just right out of the box, which is what we used to peak at. So this is a really good sign, kids.
I can't seem to get it over the wireless. I must be missing
I can't pick
a tube.
It up on my ham radio. HalSparks, what did you think of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell hearings yesterday?
I spoke about this all last year. Obama puts forth the most comprehensive review, to basically setting this up 8 months ago, where these guys, the guys who they go, well, we always have to wait till the commander's on the ground. And even Brown said that last week, like, oh, I'll wait to hear from the generals on the ground, as if, you know, the guys in Afghanistan are like, no, I don't want any gays, bang, bang, bang. Cover me, bang. I don't want any gays here. Somebody just, arm that bomb. Wait, we fired the only guy who knows how to disarm the bomb because he's gay? Bang. You know, like, that's absurd, you know. But anyways,
right.
So Obama sets this up 8 months ago. Does the most comprehensive review about Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and orders it specifically so that they can come forward and basically pants McCain in front of the entire world. That was the whole point of this thing. Was because if Obama tried to do this on his own, they just go, well, that's just another liberal, blah, blah, and this is going to, you know, they'd come up with the same arguments they've had against and, you know, repealing and for it for a long time. And it worked. It absolutely, I mean,
yeah.
Even McCain was like,
I suppose we have to listen to them.
Well, McCain's on tape is saying if the military asked for it, you know, back in 2006.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's stunning.
Yeah.
You know, so, it just shows them once again they are just against reflexively anything this administration is for.
I talked about the generals on the ground. I didn't mention admirals in the water.
Gotcha.
Huh? Yeah.
Oh, damn you and your McCain logic, Jim.
Oh, I got myself, by the way, Hal, I got myself in trouble. Chris, you saw this letter. Robert and San Dimas. Steph and crew, this was, when was it? Monday's, whatever show it was.
Do you need listener complaint music?
Yes, please. I'm listening to your discussion of gay issues. I heard several comments giving credibility to gay being a choice. What on earth are you thinking?
What?
What?
There are gays in San Dimas?
It's the most shocking thing.
They work at the water park.
I guess I was
there are no
talking...
water sports at the water park.
I know that because they let me in free.
I think what I was saying...
All right, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I think what I was saying, we were talking to the Prop 8 lawyer, the case...
Ted Boutros, yesterday, yes.
Boutros?
Golly.
Anyway, but I guess what I was saying is just that as a legal basis, I just said in the end, like, who cares about the whole argument? You know, people try to put forward about, is it a choice? Are you born that way? To me, it's just legally, you can't discriminate against a group of people for any reason. So I don't know, but I've pissed everyone off in the process, apparently. All right.
Well, that's all right. That's, you know.
Yeah, well, I know, I was just saying,
the right people.
I think Prop 8 is, I just think legally it really is kind of fascinating because it really moved the debate forward to going, prove it. Prove all these musty talking points that you're talking about, that it, you know, how does, prove your case that it hurts straight marriage, you know?
Right. Well, and by the way, if I've said this before, but if your marriage is teetering on the brink and the one thing that breaks you up is gay marriage, you're gay. Come out of the closet, go marry someone of the same sex, because if that's really the thing that drives you apart, clearly, like, if the only reason you didn't marry another man or another woman is because it was illegal, then you're gay. Then be gay. Stop torturing the other gays. If you're not, it's not going to affect you at all.
Speaking of love stories, you know,
wow.
Delisted, this is very sad news.
Oh.
They're reporting that the Jesus, am I saying that right, Jim?
Jesus.
Has he left Madonna? The Chicago Sun-Times is hearing that baby Jesus has grown tired of the scent of gold bond and bone dust violating his nostrils.
Oh,
so he
wait.
Packed up all his worldly possessions, a.k.a. nothing, and has gone back to his manger. The source type also said the breakup between Madonna and Child was completely amicable. The truth is baby Jesus was getting a little too old for Vag. I mean, he is starting to form complete
Madge.
Sentences and now able to go number one on his own. That's a problem. So wait, parents, lock up your babies because Vag Badge is back on the prowl. Oh, delisted with a snark.
Wow,
this doesn't seem like good news, Jim. Keith Richards has given up booze, but not smoking.
I can't give up smoking.
Giving up drinking is always a bad idea. Now he's apparently smoking more. So
he's in a constant state of spontaneous human combustion because I don't think it's cigarettes. I think it's just like, as the smoke just comes off me.
My blood is 90 proof already.
Yeah, so don't get those matches away from me. It's not a good idea.
Sandra Bullock may be the front runner for Best Actress Oscar, but for her award season is more about camaraderie than competition with her fellow nominees. She and Meryl Streep apparently have a little game going. She said, with Meryl, when this whole thing started, I left her a voicemail saying, you've got to watch your back. I'm going to cut you. I'm going to take you down. Bullock said, after learning they were both nominated. Then she sent me dead orchids and told me to die, so I sent her a case of liquor and told her to toast to white trash.
Oh, wow. What kind of... Well, I've got three words for Sandra Bullock. Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yes.
Just because you win doesn't necessarily... You have to do it classy, otherwise the Academy will hate you forever. I don't know what it is.
Don't be perky.
Yeah, right. All right. Don't be perky. Don't be happy. You got to come up there and drone a little bit, especially if you made the net.
18 minutes after the hour. Back with the latest on the economy, terror trials, and much more on Hump Days with Hal on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Finally, talk radio you can dance to. It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Freak out. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm the aforementioned freak. 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. We are in the midst of our hump days with Hal.
Yes.
Hal Sparks in our New York bureau.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Hump days with Hal Sparks.
Yes.
Hello, Hal.
Hi.
You know, the president right now, as we speak, is speaking to Democrats, as he did to Republicans. Well, he didn't speak to them. He kicked their ass last Friday.
Yeah.
He's got his mojo back, baby.
Here's he's getting more advice, Jim, from some neocons. Neocon Daniel Pipes. Do you know this guy?
Who?
He has a new article. He has some helpful advice for the president. New article in the National Review Online in which he suggests that President Obama could save his presidency by bombing Iran.
What?
What an idiot.
Yeah. Because you want, you know, especially after the death of an innocent woman like Nada, actually, how that affected the Iranian government.
Right.
Then
mm-hmm.
doing similar things to other innocent Iranians.
Yeah, let's kill more innocent Iranians.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Uh-huh. Yeah. He writes that Obama's attempts to reset his presidency will likely fail if he focuses on economics. Because, yeah, who's worried about the economy?
Yeah.
That's...
Wow. I'll tell you who is, the Republicans. Because if he fixes the economy, which it absolutely looks like he's been doing for the
They're
screwed, and they know it. And it's, you know what, it's interesting, and this is, again, back to the chess analogy, but it looks to me a little bit like the rest of us were going, why don't you do this now? Why don't you do this now? And he's like, because if I wait till June, you know, or January of next year, and then it takes this stuff to happen in June, then by the election, you'll really remember who these guys are.
Right.
Yep, exactly.
Because if they'd have done all this last year, they'd have made up all sorts of new stuff. We'd have been dealing, quite frankly, with immigration right now, and they would have used that as a hammer in certain states and that kind of
thing. And he's preempting them by talking about the deficit. You know,
right.
They didn't say a peep about the huge deficit he got handed by George Bush.
These deficits won't just burden our kids and our grandkids decades from now. They could damage our markets now. They could drive up our interest rates now. They could jeopardize our recovery right now.
Smack! He went to make the analogy about families.
Responsible families don't do their budgets the way the federal government does. All right? When times are tough, you tighten your belts. You don't go buying a boat when you can barely pay your mortgage. You don't blow a bunch of cash on Vegas when you're trying to save for college.
Oh, dear.
You prioritize. You make tough choices. It's time your government did the same.
Oh, dear. He got in trouble over the Vegas thing again. Did you hear about that, Hal? All the Nevada officials were pissed that he, because it's the second. Well, here's what he said. It was very shocking, controversial. He said, I was making the simple point that families use vacation dollars, not college tuition money, to have fun. He was just saying you shouldn't blow your college money
notion.
In Vegas.
Well, Vegas is, you know, part of Vegas is built on the idea that, like, you can sell your car right here and then go back to gambling.
That is true. I've never seen so many pawn shops as I have in Vegas.
Vegas
is a great place to buy musical instruments. Because
it totally is.
Yes.
Really good ones. Because they're stupid musicians who are very talented.
You could buy a 59 Les Paul for $20.
Right, exactly.
Don't you love how, so then he had to write an apology letter to Harry Reid. I certainly didn't mean to suggest at all that anybody spends money irresponsibly in Las Vegas.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. And did you hear about, by the way, the maglev train, the bullet train that's going to be going from Anaheim to Las Vegas?
Yep.
Financed
by the Chinese.
Chinese bank. Right.
All right. The president talking about the
TARP
money.
Take that $30 billion and use it to create a new small business lending fund that will provide capital for community banks on Main Street.
I'm going to Vegas.
He is preempting their issues, though, isn't he, Hal? I mean, he literally is saying, let's help small business.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Let's get the deficit under control.
Well, exactly. I think, you know, Democrats are for all these things. There's just stuff that the Republicans always throw in with it. That's the problem. They use the idea of helping small business, this illusion of helping small business, to actually give big corporate tax breaks to large companies under the guise of doing it. And so by him doing it, the bill that he's going to present actually will have that. And that's the part that irritates them. Like, when he means help small business, he means help small business.
Right. Yeah.
And they're like, happen.
He names things that it actually is what it says instead of the opposite, like under George Bush. Oh, like,
clear
for instance,
skies.
This guy, Daniel Pipes, the neocon I was telling you that wrote this article that Obama needs to bomb Iran. He is the man George Bush nominated to the board of the United States Institute of Peace.
What?
He was the neocon. You see that? Yeah. Mm. The Institute of Peace.
So he probably knows Kucinich really well. They get along, I'm sure. You know, because they're into that stuff, right? Yeah. Peace and stuff.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same thing.
He's probably hanging out with Marianne Williamson all the time. He's,
exactly.
He's,
we both want
his copy of Course in Miracles is dog-eared, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely. So especially the part where, you know, there's no reason to fear and you know, love all others. All that stuff. Is just, you're like, yeah. I can't read that enough
while
I'm at the Peace Institute figuring out how to bomb Iran.
Yeah, after you bomb Iran, then you do all that other...
I think people are terrified that peace is going to break out in Iran when, you know, the people overthrow the mullahs, and they want to make sure that Iran is a threat.
Oh, totally. You're absolutely right.
Yeah,
because, A, we need them, and, B, they're fantastic culture. The Persian culture is pretty spectacular. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've always said that one of the things that, you know, we fear more than Muslim terrorists is Muslim banks because usury is illegal.
Yeah.
You can't charge interest on stuff. And that would just eat. I mean, can you imagine if they opened a bank in the States where, like, hey, we don't charge interest. We just get a fee and you pay it back.
Everyone's bank accounts.
What?
Well, and speaking, by the way, of keeping us safe, Harry Reid made a good point yesterday that, you know, they keep talking about keeping America safe. They have GOP filibusters of White House nominees are leaving critical posts empty, as we know, at the State Department and the Department of Homeland Security. It is always all about politics for these guys. 29 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
One of the competitors is
Stephanie Miller,
a female riding prodigy. Apparently, she got on the bull and found out she had a talent for it.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I am old enough to have ridden the bull at Gilly's. You know, the thing in Urban
Cowboy.
Did you
really?
But did you?
Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah.
How long did you stay on?
And then
on?
If you fall off, you have to give them your underwear and they tack them up to the wall.
Wow.
They were quite the progressive feminist bar.
I would have never have pegged you as doing that. But,
it was,
but
I was driving across
panties.
The country to college, you know.
But
right?
You don't wear panties. So.
See,
right,
I tricked
exactly.
them there, yeah. huh? All right, we are...
So don't go there expecting to see him.
Yeah.
Well, Steph never fell off. Not exactly.
We are in the midst of Hump Days with Hal Sparks, who joins us in our New York bureau. So,
yes.
Mm-hmm.
Very officially.
So, you know why I'm not in New York, because they might have the terror trials there. So I had to...
yeah, you had to run. And that's why I'm here. The same reason I went to Hong Kong during SARS. I just to prove it's not as scary as they make you think.
You know, I don't know if you saw this exchange between David Schuster, our buddy, our pal on MSNBC, and Representative Frank Wolf, a Republican of Virginia.
Oh, yeah.
He asked him, isn't it hypocritical to be against the New York City trials while saying nothing about 119 terrorism suspects who were tried in civilian courts during the Bush administration?
Shh, don't talk about that. Quiet.
He deflected that and then claimed that giving terror suspects civilian trials is equivalent to, quote, treating them better than you're treating a young American serviceman or woman.
What?
What a stupid argument. What?
Right.
It's like, of course we try our own soldiers in a military tribunal if they break the law. I mean, what?
Steph, you have to understand that the worst thing that we can do in the middle of a war as Americans is remain America.
Right.
That's the worst thing we can possibly do, because being America is a bad idea. All this freedom,
clearly,
and all these like rules and laws and social and ethical standards, they'll get us killed.
Yeah,
we need to be the Soviet Union circa Stalin to save our own lives.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, they just they literally have no, they just don't care how breathtakingly hypocritical it is. You know, the breaking news came out yesterday. Of course, Richard Reid was read his Miranda rights four times. And within, you know, the shoe bomber, within 5 minutes of being arrested, they would have been screaming if that happened under Barack Obama.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're, you know, they hate Miranda rights until they're not read theirs when they're caught with, you know, child pornography or texting a minor or any of that stuff. Then they'll try to use that. That's the first thing they try to use to get off.
A dead intern or, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Live boy. You know,
you're right.
A dead girl or a live boy.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, by the way, is evening out, thankfully. You know, it's getting so that there are at least certain politicians getting caught with a live boy wouldn't be enough. They'd have to be, it'd have to be a dead boy, too. And I think that's progress.
In a way.
I think we've reached a new level of freedom. To where they just, whatever it is, it has to be dead. Otherwise, we can talk our way out of it.
Yeah, I mean, and plus, you know, I think the other big breaking story, that it's just, how else can you, results, are, you know, speak for themselves, don't they? This underwear bomber is singing right. like crazy. They're right. not torturing him. They're nope. using techniques, you know, like bringing his father in and...
Mm-hmm. If you torture them, they make stuff up. Yes. And when Democrats are in charge, we don't want the made-up stuff. We want the actual facts. And when the Republicans are in charge, like Cheney, when Cheney heard that you can, if you would torture someone, they will tell you what you want to hear, he went, good.
Yes.
Here's what I
yeah.
want to hear.
That's what I
yeah.
want.
Beat this guy until he tells me this, this, and this.
And then keep beating him anyway,
I mean,
just
exactly.
for fun.
That's the thing. It's like results do not even matter to them. I think nope. I made that point, didn't I, on Larry yeah. King last time, Chris? I mm-hmm. said, you know, I would rather the first World Trade Center bombers were convicted.
Yes.
And they're in prison. The
yep.
second World
Not
Trade Center
enough.
Bombings, but they're on the loose still.
Well, exactly. And, you know, I think they've seen Tango and Cash too many times. This idea that, you know, that we've got these maximum, or, you know, any number of John Woo films where, like, yeah. if we have them in a maximum security prison with magnetic floors, still the terrorists will find some way to blast their way in and,
yes.
you know, we've already put all of our good cops on suspension.
I'm thought to be an expert on this facility.
exactly.
They could even get out of Sean Connery's rock. They have superpowers.
What?
Senator Blanche Lincoln, Democrat of Arkansas.
This legislation will ensure that taxpayer dollars will not fund this giant risk to our national security and to the communities where those trials might be held.
Huh?
It's Blue Dog Dam.
Hey.
Going along with the fear mongering.
What do you expect? Her name's Blanche.
Well, you know.
Sure. Senator John Barrasso, Republican of Wyoming.
There's a lot of savings to be had by not having these trials anywhere in the United States and keeping them in a military court. I think basically the Attorney General
coupon.
Got it wrong.
Yeah, it's a terror coupon. Exactly.
Terror coupon. That's what it is.
Well, we need to waterboard them more, clearly.
25% off.
Yeah, right. This is getting 15%. Do I have to have one separate coupon for each terrorist?
Or do I... Like those Bed Bath & Beyond
exactly.
coupons.
Exactly. Right. I'm sorry. Just... It's not every item. You have to have one for
yeah, exactly.
Man.
20% off one item only.
And with five, you get a free waterboarding.
Senator
There's
Harry
no such
Reid.
Thing as a free waterboarding. I'm just
Senator
saying.
Harry Reid, as usual, making the right point, but very quietly.
We're going to let this play out. Remember the statistics. The Bush administration prosecuted hundreds of these terrorists, 340 of them are in prison right now.
I'm sorry I lost my temper. You had to see me this way.
Right.
Jim, you're a voice professional. Can't you help him use his outside voice?
Yeah.
I don't think he has one. I think maybe he was punched in the larynx when he was a boxer, and he's recovering from that.
Steve in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on Hump Days with Hal. Hi, Steve.
I guess I'm kind of changing the subject. I was watching Obama talk to the Democrats, a couple minutes ago.
Yes.
And he was on CNN, he was on MSNBC, and I tried Fox, and they had mm-hmm. a story about a murdered blonde girl in Florida.
Really?
Yeah, they were keeping
another dead blonde
that.
Story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or maybe it's the same dead blonde. They just keep changing the name.
I think it may have been. Yeah.
Exactly. All right. Thank
Thanks.
You.
Bye.
Yeah.
But they are the most trusted name in news, according to
Roger Ailes.
Roger Ailes. Yeah.
So they don't have to actually show the news because they're trusted.
I love that he says he's in the ratings game. That was his defense. You know, and Bill O'Reilly has gone down this road a bunch of times too. Like we're killing everybody in the ratings. I got news for you. Fiction always beats the news in ratings. Always. Lost beats the news. That doesn't mean I need to find out about foreign policy there. You know what I mean?
And that's the thing. It's like that's never been our argument that Fox News isn't successful. It's just not news.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all.
Yeah. American Idol beats it. Am I supposed to get my, fiscal policy from there?
Speaking of
turns out hardcore porn is more successful
than
Walter Cronkite.
Yeah. Wow. Believe me, if they could air it, they would. You could tell. Like, it just kicks his butt that he can't.
It'd have to be,
oh, man,
have to
why
be,
not?
Have to be snuff porn for the right
exactly.
Yeah,
the only thing that works for him anymore.
Oh,
so, speaking of entertaining television, I love the story about how this ass-kicking the president gave Republicans ended up on. This is just more evidence to me of their bad decision-making.
Yeah.
Mike Pence, the right-wing tool, mm-hmm. you know, that guy that I debated.
Right.
on the fairness panel with Roe.
They've been ignoring us. Mr. President, these are plans that the Democrats have been ignoring since last year.
We've been reading them. We've been laughing. The laughing tells you we're not ignoring them.
Yes.
They're ridiculous.
Yeah.
You had a budget with no numbers. We didn't ignore
it. I thought the president was very classy, but the way there was like a slight smile. I read your bill.
Yeah, I read it.
Woo!
Good bill. That was great.
What were you
smoking? I've never seen one written in crayon before.
Yeah.
The story today says, Pence and his Republican colleagues so surprised by the request that they interrupted their dinner to huddle and consider their options. They debated the pros and cons. Their conclusion, Obama would get credit for entering the lines then anyway, so they might as well take a chance and make their points about presenting alternative policies. Good job. The media, of course, declared a triumph for the president, and since Friday, second-guessing has broken out among Republicans, some of whom were embarrassed that the president had been able to walk into their event and leave with a victory.
Yeah.
Privately, some members blame Pence for not lining up better questions.
Oops!
Yeah. Well, and you know, does he have a radio background?
He used to.
And a right-wing one at that, which means he's used to only speaking to sycophants and people who agree.
Right.
And in this particular case, he was kind of fielding it like, you know, as soon as the president gets halfway through his answer, we'll cut to the guy in the field who's got his underpants off and he's standing in the middle of a mall. Like that kind of like morning zoo-ish kind of thing.
Right.
It didn't quite work out.
Right after the event, Pence said, we welcome the dialogue with the president. This business about the party of no ideas can hopefully be banished once and for all from the political debate.
You know what helped that? If you had some ideas.
Sorry
that exactly the opposite just got televised, but okay.
Yeah. We all remember the budget with no numbers, but we also remember like their plans that were actually like when you read the bill, it actually was just all this stuff like the Republicans have a plan to do this and like, okay, where is it? This is the bill. The bill is
we have a plan.
Good. This, our whole bill is the whole bill is yes. Let's all agree that we're right.
When Pence told House Republicans Friday morning the event would be open, sources said there was some trepidation in the room, but Pence assured the group, I believe we're up to this. He ended up being like John Belushi in Animal House. He's like, who's with me? We're going to kick the president
over?
Out.
Did you say over?
Come on!
Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
German? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough, the tough get going. Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
David Axelrod said the White House is looking forward to similar events in the future.
Yeah.
I'm guessing Mike Pence is going to get caller ID. Oh, dude, Axelrod, I'm not here! We're not available. All right. 44 minutes after the hour, back with more Hump Days with Hal as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
If you turn her on, she'll turn you on.
Oh, God.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. We are in the midst of Hump Days with Hal Sparks, who joins us from our New York bureau. Hello, Hal.
Hi. And, and you got to let the super tramp roll. You just have to.
Listen.
You know. The closest thing
Mama's
to a
era.
Muppet band that ever made a real record. And I love them for that. But I'm a huge Supertramp fan, but for God's sake, you know, it's pretty impressive, really. These guys, like, and especially that guy's voice, it's just stunningly kind of cartoonish. It's just great.
Roger Hodgson?
Is he an adult? Yeah, right.
Yes.
Is he an adult?
You're bloody well right.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
Got a bloody right to say.
This was interesting. On the first week in 17 years, Down Ass Don't Tell was debated, and also the Prop 8 trial wrapped up out here in California. Chinese state press highlights China's first public same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
In China?
Why is California behind China now?
Ni hao.
Exactly, Jim.
Hao li hai.
China Daily's decision to run a story about the two men is significant since same-sex marriage and civil unions aren't actually legal in China. It remains a sensitive issue there. It was officially considered a form of mental illness as recently as 2001 in China, while they roughly have 30 million gay men and women in China.
Wow. Yeah, roughly.
Roughly.
Roughly. Give or take. 1.6 billion, yeah. 30 million.
I think the Chinese census is a little
Yeah,
inaccurate.
A little off.
Yeah.
When you make it semi-illegal to basically say that you are gay, I'm going to guess that their polling is a little off.
Yeah.
Because you have to be super gay in that environment to say that you are. You know, like, are you gay? No. I'm going to check it anyways because I'm fairly certain. Peeking in through your door. I'm just looking at your posters.
Right.
You better duck. All right.
Stop it.
Kids. All right. You know, first of all, we need to send thoughts and prayers out to Representative John Murtha. He's back in the hospital in intensive care because of complications related to gallbladder surgery.
Ooh.
You know, Jim, yesterday we were saying, isn't it interesting, every single right-wing caller that calls about health care, it's all about tort reform. That's
right.
The only part of, you know, health care, apparently.
Making sure people can't sue companies that kill or injure their relatives. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's interesting because what the reports are is that Murtha's intestine was cut inadvertently during the gallbladder surgery.
Oh, my God.
That's potentially fatal. That's, God.
So
we wish him well, definitely.
Yeah. No.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
We've had him on the show. Love him. Love
yes, we
Jack
do.
Murtha. All right.
Got the willies. That's good. Thanks.
Sorry.
That's all right. No. I'm growing up. I'll deal.
Want to hear some not-so-fun facts about our business? You know, it's another poll about how clueless people are about politics and the world in general. Because you wonder, how do some of these Republican dopes get elected? And this would be Hal, did you hear about the Republican poll where big majorities of Republicans believe the president wasn't born here, is a socialist, stole the election through Acorn? What else was it, Jim? I can't remember.
He's a socialist, Nazi, Muslim, atheist.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that, you know, and gays shouldn't be allowed to teach in schools.
Yes.
And yeah, that, all that fun stuff. That, by the way, you have to take that with a grain of salt because the Republican people calling themselves Republican has shrunk so immensely that it has literally boiled down to its essence. And a lot of the people who would consider themselves moderate Republicans or whatever are using the independent. I'm an independent. To skip the fact that they voted for Bush twice and try to get out of the fact that, you know, they have some culpability in these policies. But the people who are still calling them Republicans, themselves Republicans, are like the same people who are still calling themselves gay in China when they're doing the census. You have to be so far down that road that you can't escape it, you know.
Here's the clueless poll. Only 1 in 4 Americans know how many votes a Senate filibuster requires. Only 1 in 3 know the name of the chairman of the Republican Party. Actually, most Republicans probably wish they could forget the name of the
chairman. Exactly. That's a plus in the poll.
They
probably read that one. Whew.
Did you hear, Jim, someone asked him if he would work to avoid his sometimes accidental rhetoric that causes his party a heartache. He said, oh, no, accidents happen, baby.
Oh, wow.
Baby.
It's my feeling no one in politics should use the word baby as often as he does.
Yeah.
Sort of the Austin Powers.
Do you think he's part of the Rat Pack?
When members of the hip-hop community actually are better at addressing hip kids and teenagers than you are, you probably shouldn't be in politics.
Yeah, but he wears his hat at a rakish angle.
Yeah, exactly.
That's how he rolls.
Yeah, like somebody who was in a video for The Fresh Prince in 1987. Like, still, the part that bugs me is not that he's even going kind of to hip-hop, I'm going to modernize my language route and talk to people the way they really talk. It's that he's doing it in that kind of like the father in Better Off Dead.
Exactly.
Where he's reading from a book of slang. You know? Hey, man, I'm down on it. With it, Dad.
With it, Dad.
I'm down
it.
Near right. it.
I'm hep to the lingo.
Text me whenever, yo.
Oh. Okay, on health care, fewer than 1 in 3 Americans even know that no Republicans voted for the Senate health care overall. This is a new Pew poll. Half of Americans don't know that Stephen Colbert is a comedian. Among those surveyed, only 1 in 3 Democrats knew that Senator Harry Reid is the Democratic leader.
Well, we wonder sometimes.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, I think that comes from the argument of, like, when you're sitting there checking it off, you go, is Harry Reid the leader of the Democratic Party or the Senate? Well, I don't know, technically. I'd rather think, I wish it was Joe Biden, technically, for that 51st vote on a lot of things.
Wow.
And everybody says Obama's the leader of the Democratic Party because they want to shelve, you know, they want to saddle him with every decision made by the Democratic Party in the last, you know, year by himself. And so that's where I would vote. Like, you're like, sort of? Do you have a sort of? Technically, yes, but maybe no.
How can you be in charge of anything when you kind of get... Like, he has the same voice as Mr. McFeely on Mr. Rogers.
I'm sorry you had to see me like this in my fit of pique.
Yes. Apologies. All right. Hey,
vein coming up on my forehead just when it happens when I'm angry.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
A former aide to former presidential candidate John Edwards said he received and rejected offers of gigantic amounts of money to sell what he says is a sex tape showing Edwards with his former mistress.
Oh, no.
Yes.
He let himself be photographed while he was...
Yes.
Well, I mean,
he kept the tape along with phone messages from Edwards to back up his account.
Wow.
That's skeevy.
Yeah.
For the record, Joe Biden is the first good vice presidential candidate / vice president that we've had in especially in the Democratic Party and since Gore, because quite frankly, Lieberman, big mistake.
Yeah.
And probably a big reason why Gore had such a narrow margin, I think, in some ways, especially considering where he is now. And then of course Edwards. It's arguably worse on the social front. One's politically toxic and the other one's socially toxic. It's very weird.
Yeah, that story, it's just the layers of skeevy just go on and on. He apparently slept with her in he and his wife's bed after the kids went to school.
She was pregnant.
What state is he from again? Gee whiz.
All right.
Some really blue state.
All right. Can I have my marijuana music, please? Let's end with a drug, sex, and rock and roll stack in honor of rock star Hal Sparks.
Uh-huh.
A man pulled over...
Who, by the way, does not use drugs
anymore.
That's
right.
No.
Advocates for the legalization.
You're a rock star, yes.
Yes, it's true.
However, I learned the hard way that you don't drink. A man pulled over for failing to maintain a single lane and for speeding was arrested after telling police he had $2,000 worth of weed in his trunk.
Wow.
Proving that weed makes you dumb. When the officer asked him if there was anything illegal in the truck, he said, I got $2,000 worth of weed in the trunk.
What?
Wow. It's truth serum, apparently.
Yeah.
After being read his rights, he said, man, you don't know how much weed I spoke.
Oh, man. Wow. It's killer.
You're not helping, dude.
Weed makes you far too chatty, apparently.
Yeah.
It's true. Well, again, honest. There's an upside to this. You know, it's not like coke. He'd be like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. Look, I'm a senator. I should be allowed to let me go. Or alcohol, which is like, I'm not drunk. I'm just from here. This is my house. Get out of my yard.
HalSparks.com is the website.
Yes.
You can check
out HalSparks on Twitter. Absolutely.
There you go. All right. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.